Welcome to Nerd Out at Spotify. I'm Dave Zolotowski, principal engineer at Spotify. And this episode is a little different from our other episodes. It's part of a new series we're calling Release Notes. We often talk about the big engineering problems that we have to solve at Spotify scale. Coordinating user tests between hundreds of teams, keeping a fleet of tens of thousands of software components healthy and up to date, or simplifying mobile development across different app platforms and different tools. This is not that kind of episode. Release notes are mini episodes where we focus on a single feature and what went into building it. We have hundreds of teams at Spotify working on so many different things: music, podcasts, recommendations, fraud detection, you name it. This is our way of taking a quick peek into what they're shipping. Today, we're talking to two members of our car integration team. And this summer, they worked with engineers at Tesla to help ship an update to Tesla's built-in media player and how it integrates with Spotify. So let's get into it. Well, welcome to the podcast, and it's great to have both of you on here. I guess let's start by just introducing yourselves and tell me about what you do at Spotify.
So my name is Gitika Arora, and I work as an engineering manager for a team that is responsible for shipping Spotify in the cars. We work on the embedded experience and try to make your in-car journeys memorable.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been a manager for almost like 2 years now. Before that, I was working as a backend engineer. I moved from India in 2021 for Spotify. I really love technical stuff, and that's why I wanted to stay close and move to being an engineering manager.
And how about you, JC? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is JC Chim. I am the design lead that supports the embedded experiences in automotive. So basically, Gitika's design peer. And I've been at Spotify for about 4 years and relocated from Seattle, Washington back in 2019.
So you both said embedded experiences and then said in the car. What is embedded experiences? Is that just car things, or is there a lot more to that at Spotify?
Yes. So when you buy a car, there are these fancy head units in the car. And when you get Spotify in those head units, that's basically what we refer to as embedded experiences. So that you don't have to use the phone while driving, and you can do whatever music that you want to listen to from the screens in the car.
I got you. So like Spotify built into your car, like from the factory.
Right. Mm-hmm. So music on the wheels.
I like that. So tell me a little bit about that. I guess that sounds super different from shipping a mobile app where you can have updates every day and it just goes to an app store and it's constantly changing. I imagine with cars, it doesn't quite work like that. You don't just submit an app and get it shipped daily.
Right. It's a very different cycle. We have different partners, Play Stores, where we upload our APKs, the Android application package. It's basically our app that works on the Play Stores. And our car partners take those APKs and either they ship the APKs over the air to the cars and the users immediately get that update, or it takes some time. So the feedback loop is really challenging because for mobile devices, it moves really fast. If you want to test a new feature with the new users, we can just change the experience. We can experiment around that. But for the cars, what we have to do is we have to wait for the feedback cycle from the mobile devices first. Then we adapt it to our automotive experiences, and then we ship it in the automotive environment.
I got you. Yeah, so that sounds like there's a bunch of similarities, but that also really, it sounds like the timeline and then the feedback loops are like a really big difference. So then let me switch over. JC, I imagine there's a lot of design constraints in these situations as well. Same sort of thing. It's not just the phone and you own the whole surface. I imagine every car company has their own rules about what they want the interface to look like, but Spotify also has rules about what our app should look like. How do you navigate all of that?
Yeah, it can be quite challenging because you have to balance brand equities. People are loyal to the brands like Tesla. The way they interact with the Tesla operating system, they're used to it. But at the same time, if they're Spotify users, then they're used to the experience being a certain way. So for example, the main nav, there's a home, there's a search, and then there's like your library. So that's one challenge, is how do we find balance between the two experiences? The other one's kind of like there's platform-specific design systems. So oftentimes we'll have car companies who have a central media center. So we take the Spotify application or what we believe it to be, and then we have to retrofit it so it fits seamless into, say, like a Tesla or a BMW. So that's like a strain in itself. And then there's like the interaction side of it. For automotive, the primary goal is to drive. So safety is quite paramount. And then you have to limit the interactions to reduce the distractions. In mobile, users like to share their experiences. But in the car, it may not be the most appropriate space to share. So people who use Spotify, it's handheld and it's portable. So the way you interact with it is entirely different. So the biggest goal for us is how do we balance like a rich experience, but also distill it enough where it can live safely inside the car experience.
And I guess that's the same sort of thing. I don't know, you would eliminate things like shared, or are there like drastic changes to the actual user experience, like the way they interact with core Spotify features like playlisting and playback that are different to minimize distractions?
Right. We have to make sure to keep driver distraction in mind. On the mobile, we don't care much what the user is clicking and if they're distracted or not, but we have to take special care in the cars.
We try to make it as familiar as possible, so that way it's easier for people to navigate. So since it's so familiar, they know that their playlists, their podcasts, or their audiobooks, they can find it in your library. So then if we set up the main tabs or the architecture, then it helps users identify how to navigate because it's so familiar.
Yes, so we work towards one experience design vision so that it's seamless when a user switches from their mobile apps to the cars, or for that matter, any other device. So they feel that it's just one experience and they are not using different apps.
Yeah. You mentioned Tesla once or twice in your examples. I think they're known as being a super innovative company that's changed a lot of things about the way the automotive industry operates. I'm curious, in working with them in particular and working with their app, is their technology significantly different than, you say, the rest of the auto industry?
Yeah. So at Spotify, we have multiple ways to ship Spotify app in the cars. And it depends on the partner that we are working with, their requirements and their hardware. The app that Tesla uses, the technical stack that Tesla uses is ESDK right now. The external software development kit, which our external partners use to build the Spotify experiences. And we started working with them in 2015. And after that, we made a lot of changes in our Spotify app. We released podcasts in 2020. And then recently, we introduced audiobooks. So we wanted all those features in the user experience within Tesla. We wanted them to work on the audiobooks. And they came to us by showcasing a demo, a proof of concept for shifting to a new tech stack. Although we did not recommend that tech stack to them, we all were very excited to build that new user experience and we started working on it together. There were challenges around our stack because it has some limited experience. It's an old technology and we are limited in some sense, but both the teams worked together to build something on top of it with the limited constraints.
Yep, I got you. And so we have this SDK, but then on top of that, the actual apps get built and the user experiences get built. And that's where a lot of the work, it sounds like, came in here, because it wasn't so much changing the way Tesla interacts with Spotify. It was more adding a bunch of functionality for things like you said, podcasts and audiobooks.
Yeah. So for example, for podcasts and audiobooks, we've also added information like the episode's description, because oftentimes in the car, and specifically in Tesla, the behavior is from the users, they would resort back to their phones to look for an episode because they didn't have all the information there in the embedded experience to evaluate the content. So they would just naturally go back to their mobile device, find a podcast episode, and then they would start playback. And then they would just manage playback and listening in the car. So for the update experience, we looked at the podcast experience entirely and say, okay, well, what are the fundamental components and elements that a user needs to understand and evaluate the content? And those are some of the things that we introducing the new experience.
Tell me a little bit about the process for something like that. You mentioned that Tesla had some ideas or even like a demo of a new tech stack. Is that how this normally happens? Or do we normally have to come to partners and say like, let's add podcasts? Or is there no real kind of normal here?
It's very different for every company. Sometimes the companies reach out to us, the OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers, or sometimes we reach out to them in terms of adding some new features in the experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, for example, with Tesla, they sent us an early proof of concept based off of some of the newer technologies that they were using or playing around with. And then what we've seen was an opportunity to closely collaborate. So there's two ends of the spectrum. One is we get a partner who just shows up at the door and they show us their UX or their experience based off of our UX requirements. And then on the other end of the spectrum, like Tesla, they'll want to collaborate closely and we'll share the same design files. We'll share the same software, basically across all of the spectrum.
I got you. So then tell me a little bit more about that. I think you both, as I said, closely collaborate 3 or 4 times in that stretch. So it sounds like it was a little different from most interactions. I don't know if it's like a culture thing or the speed at which you worked with or like the tools that you interacted with. Why was this such a strong collaboration?
Tesla and Spotify, I guess we both build stuff fast. We test, we iterate on the experience, and then we are able to ship it again. So the testing happens really fast. And for this particular collaboration, our partner engineer, Tosin, she changed her working hours to collaborate with Yoko, the engineer at Tesla. And she started working in the Pacific time zones to speed up the collaboration. And Tesla also sent us a head unit, the bench, which is in the cars, right? So that was shipped to us from California. It got stuck in the customs. But when it reached us, we were able to mirror the experience that was being built at the same time. Tesla would ship some updates and we would test it. So that's why it was a very fast collaboration. And since we both shared the same ambition, it did not feel tiring. We were all very excited for that experience to be shipped.
That sounds really cool. It sounds like there was work on both sides to make it work. But I'm really interested in this thing where Tesla sent you head units, because now I'm picturing a room somewhere in Stockholm that has like dozens of pieces of cars to test car-like experiences. I'm not sure if that actually exists, but that's very much happening in my head right now.
It does. So we have a car simulator room where we can simulate the driving experience. And then we also have all different other OEMs that they would send us their test benches, or bucks is what we refer to them as. And they're basically these dashboards. We have several handful of these benches around, and we're constantly testing bugs, experiences, and stuff like that.
So. It truly helps. And it helps us to empathize with the product that is being shipped as well. Because, of course, we don't have all the cars that we can go around and test things. So the benches really help us.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I very much thought before we talked that this was largely just done like on laptops. You would have like the equivalent of an iOS emulator, but it would be like a Tesla car emulator or whatever, insert brand here, car emulator. But the fact that you actually have the physical devices that you can interact with them the same way as they would be in the car sounds like that would make a huge difference to knowing that it works and what the experience is.
Yeah. Yep. One example is the other day, we wanted to get the previous build prior to the new experience. So we had our partner engineer, Tosin, reached out to Tesla. And then within, I say, half an hour, they had sent an over-the-air update to the actual test bench. For me, I think speed was pretty surprising. Being able to make changes on the fly and then have them send over-the-air updates from halfway across the world within minutes, I think that's been the most surprising thing is, wow, we can actually move fairly quick.
No, that's amazing. I would normally assume that just building the software that runs on a head unit takes 30 minutes, much less building it, sending it, getting it onto the bench, all of that. That's really cool. So tell me a little bit more about the update. Tell me what users are actually going to experience differently because of this.
Yeah, there are several updates that we made. So the first one would be we simplified the login UX. So before, you would have to use the username and password, and you know how it goes. If you forget your password, there's an entire process. So now users can log in with the QR code. So it's single step action, super fast. We reorganized the information architecture. So basically the main navigation. So now it's home, browse, your library, and search. Prior to this, there was home, recents, podcasts, audiobooks, playlists, albums, artists. So trying to simplify that quite a bit for the users. We updated the main UI in home. So we added the shortcuts section in home. So this allows users to quickly access their personalized content. We refreshed all of the entity pages. So for playlists, artists, and podcasts, we redesigned the entity header layouts to be more scalable. So this allows us basically more control. Say we should launch new features in the future, and then we'll have space for us to basically design as we please. And then we introduced a new vertical, which is audiobooks. This is the first time we've introduced audiobooks in the car. So we're looking to learn a whole lot of how users can consume audiobooks and how to improve in the future.
Yeah, we did a bit of a technical bit in the backends for the audiobooks because it was mixed with the podcast and we wanted the users to get easy access to their saved audiobooks. And this is where our internal teams came into play and they helped clean the APIs.
That's a lot. That sounds almost like a whole different experience.
Yes, it definitely is. It's basically setting the foundation so that we can build onto this experience moving forward.
Yep, that's great. Now, well, congratulations on getting all that done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for being on Nerd Out with me today. This was super interesting. Other than running Spotify in various cars, what else do you nerd out about?
Anything that involves architecture and motorsports. I'm big on circuit racing, so I do a lot of that stuff on the side. Or not a lot, but a little bit these days. And then a lot of hardware design, furniture design, things like that, yeah.
Wow, JC.
Sorry, that was a bad answer.
You learn something new every day.
No, that was a good answer. I have been focusing on self-development and especially meditation. So I'm reading a lot of philosophical content and just nerding out my self-awareness and my thoughts to make myself a better person and hence a better people manager.
I got you. That sounds like a great people manager thing to work on.
Yeah, it's very important to be a good person. Just saying.